So if you look at the Greek text of the New Testament, the beginning of each of the books that we call the Gospels says, the Gospel according to Mark, the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Luke, the Gospel according to John. So we have one Gospel and four tellings of the Gospel. And what is that Gospel? Well, the Gospel is that God, who created the world and loves the world, created the world out of grace and loves the world in grace, has acted on behalf of the world. Because the fact of the matter is, you and I experience the world with a certain degree of wreckage, kind of a mixture of mess and beauty at the same time. Whether that wreckage is a physical wreckage, like right now in my life, my knees are wreckage. Anybody here identify with that? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. But it's not just physical wreckage, it's also relational wreckage. You know, we get married in the hopes of love and security and depth. Something goes wrong and wreckage happens. Sometimes it's wreckage between parents and children. We have hopes and dreams for our children, and then things don't turn out the way that we want them to. Or there's the wreckage of death. Someone that we love, one that we care for deeply, dies, and we experience the loneliness of loss and the ache of a heart. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. I remember when I did my first funeral, which was for the funeral of my brother's wife. She died on an Easter Sunday morning when she was 38. And I did that funeral, and one of the things that I did at that funeral was to read the passage from John where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though they die, yet will they live? But connected with that little passage is also the fact that Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus and he wept. Now he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Why did he weep? He wept because there was something deep within him that says, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And whether you're talking about the death of someone, an illness in your own life, the wreckage of your body, the wreckage of a relationship, dealing with the pain of depression or loneliness, there's something inside of us that cries out that says, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And so we have the gospel. And the gospel is good news. The good news is about the breaking in of the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus, in his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and coming again. He breaks into the world to assume his rightful role as king of the world and to set things right. That's good news. I may not experience that in fullness now, but I can experience some of that here in the presence, in the midst of the wreckage of life. Because of the gospel, there is intertwined in the wreckage the reality of redemption. God is at work to redeem his world, to set things right. And that's good news. It's good news for the world. It's also good news for you and for me, because we can enter into that now in the present, by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so John, Matthew, Luke, Mark, they all write down the story of Jesus, which is the story of the gospel. But the story of the gospel does not exist in a vacuum. It actually comes within the story of Israel. And the story of Israel comes within the story of the world. So when John writes his telling of the gospel. He begins at the beginning, way back before the world existed. And that's what we talked about last week. So I'm going to read that passage again, and I'm going to read a little bit more of it than what we are just going to talk about this morning. Hear the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, though the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. And yet, to those who did receive Him, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. John is one of the few writers of the New Testament that actually uses the language of new birth. The thing that's great about what Rachel shared is the dominant language in the New Testament for how we become a part of the family of God is adoption. We get chosen and adopted by God and become a part of His family and His life. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And out of His fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God, and is in the closest relationship with the Father. Jesus Christ has made Him known. Father, I ask that as we explore the meaning of Your word this morning, that You will come to us and speak to us personally. And by Your Spirit, the same Spirit who caused John to write these things down, will come to us and cause these words to come alive in our hearts and our minds with new power, new understanding, and new life for us. In Jesus' name, amen. John doesn't write in a vacuum. He writes in the context of the first century, in which both Judaism and the Greco-Roman world have their place. And in the Greco-Roman world, their understanding of the world was that material was bad and spiritual was good. So their idea of salvation, or whatever salvation meant, was escape from this material world. In fact, some of the Greek thinkers went so far as to say, because the world is bad, because the world is tainted, because the world is not good, God could not have created the world. So God, through a variety of stages of emanations, if you will, or agents subsequent to each other, one of those agents created the world, but God didn't, because God is purely spiritual, and God could have nothing to do with that which is material. In that context, what John says is, oh no, the Word, the reason behind the world, is God Himself. And that Word is the one who created everything that exists. In fact, nothing that exists did not come through God's creative hand. John goes on to say that this is an aspect of grace. And so what John is saying to you and to me is that creation is an act of God's grace, a personal act of God's grace, in which God has a hand in it. If you read that little phrase in there, God made everything, the Word made everything, and everything was made, came through the Word, there is a verb tense in there that says, not only was that true at the beginning, it continues to be true. Nothing comes into being apart from God's creative activity. And so John says no to the Greek idea that the world, the material world, is somehow evil. Now, the Jewish world understands that because they have their scriptures. And the telling of the story in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the creation of the world affirms the goodness and beauty of the world. What John is saying to them is, you need to understand that the one who spoke was Jesus. The one who spoke the world into existence was Jesus. He is God speaking. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was good. And God said, let there be a vault in the sky that separates the water from below from the water from above, and call that sky, and it was so, and God said it was good. And God said, let there be land, and there was land, and it was good. And God said, let the land be teeming with animals of all different kinds, and it was so, and it was good. And God said, let birds fill the sky, and it was so, and it was good. And let fish and all kinds of sea creatures fill the water, and it was so, and it was good. And God created human beings in his image. Male and female, he created them, and it was so, and it was very good. God punctuates his telling of the story of creation by saying, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was very good. But you and I, as I said earlier, know that everything isn't good. What happened with creation? Human beings decided to reject God, to go their own way. And the irony of that is, in deciding to go our own way, we find ourselves lost people all the time. We get lost in our relationships and we don't know how to retrieve them. We get lost in our communities and we don't know how to build them. We get lost in our understanding of God. And we don't know how to be in relationship with him. So God says, I'm going to do something about that. And he picks a person, and that person's name is Abram. And Abram has a wife, and her name is Sarah. And God says, I am going to bless you. And through you, I am going to bless all the families on the earth. You're going to be my agent of redemption. And out of Abraham, Israel was created, came into being. And in Israel was given the job of being the source of revelation about who God really is and what he's about in the world, and also to be the agent of redemption. The problem was that the solution became the problem. Israel did not live up to its commission. Could not live up to its commission. Because Israel was as lost as the other peoples of the world. And so out of Israel, God sent into the world his son. His very self. The author of the story became part of the story. Became one of us. So when we hear that the author of the story, the author of creation itself, became part of creation, it tells us something about creation. And it tells us something about redemption. It tells us that creation is ultimately good, even though it's marred, and desperately needs to be mended. It also tells us where redemption is going to take place. By God sending his son into the world, the author of creation to become part of creation, redemption happens within creation, not outside of creation. You see, the story of Jesus is not just about his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, but it's also about his coming again and the creation of new heaven and new earth. Salvation is not that when you and I die, we are lifted out of this world to go someplace else. Oh, we may do that for a time. But ultimately, salvation is about the redemption of this earth. A new heaven and a new earth with God dwelling in our midst. In the same way that God comes to dwell in our midst in Jesus. He moved into the neighborhood, became one of us, so that redemption could take place. And in his life, death, and resurrection, he accomplished that, and now he has ascended to be with the Father, in which he prays for you and for me, and he reigns. And we pray that as he reigns in heaven, so may he reign on earth. May he reign on earth in my life. May he reign in earth in my relationships. May he reign in earth in my family. May he reign on earth in this congregation. And may he reign in this city, in this community, in this country, and in the world. And so we pray in that way. And we become agents of his reigning. Because that's what we were created to do in the first place. Created in his image so that we might reign on the earth. In his place. So the gospel is really good news. Because it says that God has acted in such a way that he is going to make everything right. And he's going to make everything right on this earth, not someplace else. He's going to take that which we love and yet is twisted or diminished or darkened. And he is going to bring light and life to every single crack, every nook, every fiber, every cell of this material world. The life that God has created is an embodied life. And we will be saved as embodied peoples, and this earth will be saved. That's why it's good news. And the good news for you and for me is that I can be a part of that. You can be a part of that. God enlists us to be part of his family. The blessing that he wanted to give through Abram to all of the families on the earth is now the blessing that he wants to give to you and to me so that we can be a blessing to all the families on the earth. No matter who they are, no matter where they are in life, no matter what they are doing, no matter whether they are close to God or far away from God, whether they love God or hate God, God loves them and he wants to love them through us. So we learn a lot about both creation and redemption. And when we learn about creation and redemption, we're learning about God and the life of God, and we're also learning about how we are to live within the world. God comes to us in the person of Jesus, into a world that did not recognize him and rejects him, into a world that is filled with enemies. He moves toward us, not away from us. So one of the things that we can know, no matter who we are, no matter what circumstances we are in, no matter whether we are a part of a family or a church family or a community, God is saying, find ways to move toward people, not away from them. Find ways to move into people's lives, not cut them off. Find ways to build bridges rather than walls. We had a discussion about this 5 years ago in the session. If you are going to build bridges into people's lives, in our community, in our world, it's messy. Because once you build a bridge, anybody can come across. Life is messy. Life is not nice, neat, clean, in little boxes where we can put people there and say, you stay in your box, I'm going to be in mine. God says, I'm going to build a bridge. And the way he did that was not through ideas, not through propositions, not through principles, not through religious activities, not through rituals, not through regulations. He did that through a person, the person of himself. He became the bridge. He is the bridge to life. Not as an idea, not as a proposition, not as a principle, but as a person. The person of God moves toward us in order to redeem us. He moves toward the world, not away from the world, in order to redeem the world. That's the good news. The good news is that God has acted in the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and coming again of Jesus to bring about his kingdom, to put Jesus in the proper role of king of the world, to set things right so that all things might bring him glory. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask that as we seek to understand and live out that word, that in the same way that the cross was really driven into the ground, and there you, God, staked your claim on the whole of creation, so we would be driven into the ground, and that you would stake your claim to the whole of creation through us, so that we might become one more chapter in the story of your gracious act. Created in grace, sustained in grace, redeemed in grace, to be consumed by grace. In Jesus' name, amen.